everyone. Welcome to Two Drink Minimum at the Kitchen Table. This is your host, Chantel Bach. Welcome. Today, you're going to listen to a conversation that took place at the Kitchen Table with Jennifer Vagalatos. That is my phone going off. I apologize. Let me turn that off right now. And I'm not going to explain how I know Jennifer because I opened the episode by explaining how I know Jennifer. In short, we met at a Dapple protest. So I know that there's a billion things going on in the world right now, and I fully intend to try to talk about as many of those topics as I possibly can this weekend and get those episodes out there. But in the meantime, let's just listen to a wonderful conversation where a friend joins me at the kitchen table. Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, welcome to Two Drink Minimum at the Kitchen Table. And today I'm joined by Jennifer Vagalatos. And Jennifer and I met at all places a Dapple protest. This is how we know each other. Mm-hmm. In January of 2017, mm-hmm. It seems so long ago because the world is what it is. But it was 2017, mm-hmm. It was January. It was
at the end of the month, towards the end of the month.
Fucking freezing.
It was very cold.
It was so cold. Humans should not have been outside. I had about 5 layers of clothing on. Mm-hmm. I don't think you had a hat or gloves.
I had gloves. I ended up losing one, and it totally sucks because they were like hand knitted from like Guatemala, and I lost one of them.
Oh, that day?
Oh. It fell out of my pocket or something. I don't know. Oh. But yeah, I mean, everything was warm except for my butt and my ears. But
yes, it was. Yep, I had a short, my butt was completely frozen, and I had on layers. Mm-hmm. Like, I had on leggings with pants. Mm-hmm. My feet were absolutely freezing. Mm-hmm. I had a stocking cap on, plus the hood. I think I had on 2 pairs of gloves, too. Mm-hmm, it was awful.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I wore my hair down because I thought that having my hair down, because it was longer, and it was really, really curly, and I thought that, but then it was windy, and there was wind tunnels through there, so that did nothing. But I had I think I was telling you that I had, like, a pleather jacket on, and I liked that, because even though it's thin, it doesn't breathe, so you just sit in there, and you're, like cocooned into it. Mm-hmm. But I had my Doc Martens on, and I had 2 layers of socks, because my Doc Martens are kind of big. Mm-hmm. So I had to wear 2 layers of socks, so my feet were warm. My legs were warm, but my butt was cold.
Freezing.
And my hands were fine, but then I lost one of my gloves as we were walking back to the car park. So, yeah, so that's how we met. But yeah, I was just complaining about it being so cold, and we just kind of...
We kind of huddled together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was it. So there was this, we're in this shit together. We don't know each other, but you're warm.
So we're just going to huddle together and complain about how cold it is and just kind of shimmy and move around to rate 1 degree of heat.
Right.
Yeah, that no human should have been outside that day, but it was a Dapple protest. Mm-hmm. And then we became Facebook friends, and then we shared the same birthday, and we shared the same interests, and now you're sitting at my kitchen table.
I know. So great. Of all of the stuff that's going on, this is one thing that I have a really good handle on. This is one thing I feel really confident talking about, just because I've been from here to here, gone through this way to get to where I am. And so, I was, up until 2011, a born-again Christian.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And what started happening in 2011, the first couple of years were fine, from 2006 to about 2008, it was fine. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot and all of these things. 2009, when President Obama was elected, things changed.
Okay.
The overall tone of the church became very sarcastic towards Obama.
Really?
Very anti-Obama, but subtle undertones.
Interesting.
Okay. So the pastor would be standing up in front of the church, and he would say, "Well, I guess I need to pray for our president." And my ears perked up. Like, why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You didn't have a problem praying for Bush.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? Because to me, as a very newly little baby Christian that I was always referred to, doesn't Jesus love all the people?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was taught.
Apparently not. At least in their eyes. So between 2009 and 2011, when I finally left in August of 2011, there was a lot, it was just a lot of negativity.
Okay.
And the biggest thing for me in, I believe it was in 2011, was that when Osama bin Laden was it 2011 May?
Yep.
Okay.
Somewhere around that time.
So something that, and now I started noticing, because I was friends with my pastor on Facebook, and I noticed just the things he was posting, all of these things were just so, to me, this is anti-Christian. This is not right. I mean, and everything inside of me was just like, this is not right. Mm-hmm. And having such a small understanding.
Sure.
Compared to everyone else, because I was always called a baby Christian.
By the church? Is that who's calling
people,
you?
You know, okay. People that okay. I was associated with. Okay. Oh, you're just such a baby Christian. Or, you know, you're still so young in the religion or faith or whatever. And I'm like, but I am 33 years old. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be interesting. So when Osama bin Laden was killed, there was a part of me that what this man had done, mm-hmm. I'm glad that it can't be done again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't celebrate up until, that might change
sure.
if something were to recently happen. I've always sure. stuck by, we don't celebrate the death, in my personal view, mm-hmm. of anyone. It's just, it's because we are so, I mean, as human beings, we are so flawed as it is. Any one of us could end up being an Osama bin Laden. Yeah. Any one of us could mm-hmm. be, you know, Mother Teresa or, you know, whoever.
Uh-huh.
You can end up anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And because of whatever has happened in this person's life, I cannot completely demonize them down to this one aspect. Because once they were an infant,
mm-hmm.
and once they were a toddler, and once they were a teenager, and then they grew up, and all of these things. So I still find that very hard with... And I don't say President Trump. I say NMP or not my president.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only time you'll probably hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have a hard time with him because I try to find something to show some sort of humanity. And maybe because I'm so deep into it, it's hard to see it.
Sure.
So at this point, you know, there's a flaw on my end. But I try very hard not to demonize people down to these little things that this is just a Muslim terrorist and that's all he ever was, and I have a hard time with that. So when I felt sad but also relief that okay, this person can't do what they've done any
mm-hmm.
longer, but I'm not gonna celebrate.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, the next day, the pastor posted a picture of a cake. And make me cry. I'm sorry.
No.
Totally. And on that cake was Osama bin Laden's head put atop a gun inside like a military boot. And right there, I knew that what was going on was not right.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
And I called and spoke to one of the pastors. And you know, of course, they were like, no. This isn't right, but nobody says anything.
Right.
No one would correct
right. mm-hmm.
the pastor. And that right there, I knew that, okay, this is not right,
mm-hmm.
you know. Subsequently, by the end, basically the end of the summer, because I think this happened in May. I think it was in May.
Yeah, it was spring. I mean, spring-ish
yeah.
time. Yeah.
And by August, I was out of there. What happened before August, between June, July, and August, the church became a sanctuary for Republicans that were campaigning
yep,
at that time.
Yep.
Michelle Bachmann was there.
Oh, I forgot all
the
about
Faith
her.
And Family, whatever
yeah,
that
coalition or whatever
was being hosted there.
Too.
Of course, there were no Democrats that showed up. I was told that the Democrats were invited. None of them showed up, which I found to be very odd.
Uh-huh.
But you know, Herman McCain was
uh-huh.
there. I mean, all of those guys
uh-huh.
at that time and
uh-huh.
that particular
oh,
point.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him, too.
Yeah. And so the whole summer became about God, guns, politics, the Constitution, and our rights.
Okay.
But not really God. And so it became very, very political.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Michelle Bachmann standing up there talking to all these parishioners and saying all of these things. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, I know what your husband does. Mm-hmm. I know what he's involved in. Mm-hmm. And I remember specifically just turning around and just looking behind me. And all these people are just, oh, isn't she? And I was just, I don't belong here anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up leaving. I typed up a very nice letter to the pastor. You know, thank you for all the opportunities, because between 2006 and 2011, uh-huh. I had received help from them on occasion,
sure.
first year, because I was mm-hmm. still a single mom at the sure. time. You know, Christmas presents, that type of thing. But I also volunteered a lot. I was on the worship team. I sang. I got involved with, like, prayer groups. And, I mean, I was very active and
yeah.
very much involved in mm-hmm. fall festivals and Halloween mm-hmm. things and, you know, vacation Bible school and all of these things. But I didn't have, although I wanted to, I just did not have the guts to go in there and just be like, because of your bullshit, because of your divisiveness and all of these things that I have noticed that you are doing that are in the Bible that says you shouldn't, I just didn't have the guts to do it. And someone had, so I just, you know, thank you very much for the opportunities, you know, I appreciate it. Thank you, goodbye. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And chickened out on it. And someone had said that they had talked to him and said, hey, did you read that letter? And he said, I'll get to her. And I remember saying, well, I'll wait for his phone call, you know. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. And so I left there completely just disillusioned by the Christian church
yeah.
altogether. And I have not been a member of any church since. I've gone to different churches with friends who have invited me. There's churches that I would like to go to now that mm-hmm. are all inclusive, that mm-hmm. celebrate LGBTQ, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, the whole deal, but I'm still so jaded. And
sure.
I thought that I got out of there before I became where that toxicity had not kind of jaded mm-hmm. and really made me acidic, but it did.
Sure.
And, but the funny thing is that church 4 years later went under. You know, they took out a multi-million-dollar, I don't know, $1.5 million loan to build this huge uh-huh. church. And then the church falls apart because we've got this divisive, you know, mm-hmm. Pastor that's mm-hmm. now separated mm-hmm. and come to find out was running for state Senate.
Ah.
It was Jeff Mullen. And I was like, oh, well, that
There's,
makes
yep.
perfect sense
yep.
why all of this bullshit has just come down.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, how dare he? That was my church.
Yep.
That was the place that I felt most at home. That's the only church home I've ever known. And in 5.5 years of spending all of this time, and really trying to, you know, just be the best human
mm-hmm.
and be the best, not so much the best Christian, but just how can I take what I've learned and this love that I have for this God and for this Christ and really just make a good impact? How can I take this and be better as a human and send it out to the rest of the world?
Right.
And then gone. It was just fucking gone. And I have struggled ever since then. Not so much with my faith, because what I found out is that when I left, all I had was my faith.
Sure.
I had God, I had Jesus, I had the Holy Spirit. That was it. But then I realized that's all I really needed.
Yeah.
And although I do miss that aspect of singing and worshiping, because I love to sing. I mean, that's obvious. And mm-hmm. I have no problem with all of that, you know, worship kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I miss that, but mm-hmm. I don't miss the toxicity and the kind of veil that I had mm-hmm. over, because there were so many questions I had. People just could not give me answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know, I think it was just about, I would say just after that election. And I thought, what makes them think, evangelical Christians, mm-hmm. that they have the truth nailed down to absolutes, that you have to do this, and then the guilt set in, you know, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, now I'm questioning my faith, now I'm mm-hmm. questioning everything, but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you're always made to feel that mm-hmm. you just trust the Lord, you just trust
yep.
the Lord, you just
yep.
trust the Lord,
yep.
you don't ask questions,
nope.
and that's basically what they're saying when they say trust the Lord,
yep.
because if you're not trusting, or, you know, if you're asking questions, you don't trust
you
the
don't,
Lord.
Yep. yep.
So, there was a lot of internal struggle, especially after the election. I felt like, oh my God, anybody can run for office and it doesn't matter what the fuck you do to anybody. And the morning that I woke up, was it January 19th, 2017? Is that right? I thought, oh my God, we have a sexual predator as president. And now it is okay for men to do that. Uh-huh. And I was just, you know, beside myself. But before then, in December, just not too far from here, they have three crosses that sit outside their building. And it's, and to me, it's just one, it's just a place that I like to go. I haven't been there in a while, but it, right, like, as the election was really, I kept going because I just, I needed a space. Uh-huh. I needed somewhere where I just felt like, okay, here's a visual. I needed a visual because I wasn't finding God anywhere else in the world, right, you know? Uh-huh. And I sat down and said some prayers or whatnot. And I remember finally just saying, Lord, they're telling me that I have to hate Muslims, that I have to hate blacks. They're showing me it's okay to be racist. They're showing me that it's okay to tell homosexuals, lesbians, that they are going to hell. This is what they're telling me. And Lord, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so I had just decided and took a stand right then and there. If I am wrong, then I will turn my back on undocumented immigrants. I will turn my back on LGBTQ. I will turn my back on Muslims. I will turn my back on the blacks. I will do all of these things. I will even go so far as to turn my back on my daughter.
Wow.
But you have to tell me.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to love everybody.
Uh-huh.
I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. And that is, and that's when I made my stand, and that was in December, where I'm just like, you know what? I'm no longer going to let any of this noise and any of this crap come into my head, because I know God would never come down and tell me to do any of that shit.
Right.
And so that is when I was like, you know what? Fine. Mm-hmm. This is the way I'm going to live my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and go to that wedding next year for my friend who's getting married to her fiance. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and love my, you know, and I've been doing this all along, but it was just pretty much saying, listen, all of this stuff that I've heard, I'm not buying it anymore, God. And I am going to love these people as your son has instructed me to do.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's where I was. So then now I start seeing what has happened, and I have seen, I mean, people taking the word of God and so destroying it and using, like, I would not, you might as well consider me an atheist if this is the God that I'm supposed to worship.
Right.
Because there is no way in hell that I would ever bow down before the, this GOP conservative evangelical God.
Right.
No, and I don't want to go to the heaven that you guys are going to, because no.
Uh-huh.
It's not a place. I would rather be in hell with really interesting, loving people than you guys.
Right.
So, and so there was just a lot of, you know, a struggle, because here I am with this belief system that was just very basic, but it was very deep at the same time. Like, I really, I took what I was being told very seriously. And even though I was questioning, I wasn't outwardly questioning it.
Right.
I was going inside or, you know, inward and also looking and going on the internet, reading books. I cannot tell you how many Christian living books or whatever I have read to really understand. Like, this wasn't just for fun, to look good, to, you know, put off some kind of image. This is something that I had always, because it was never, I remember asking my parents when I was about 3 or 4, and it wasn't, is there a God? Who is he? Mm-hmm. I had already had something inside me that told me, yes, there is this God, but I didn't know who it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't remember, my parents always just took the stance, because they were not very religious, although they were brought up in very abusive religious homes, know, going to Catholic churches and, you know, Catholic school. I mean, just all that drama back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was this, they always just, God loves you and Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was always very much love, 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 you know. And so I just kind of felt like, I took it so seriously that this was not a joke to me, but mm-hmm. I would see people around me that it was just for fun.
Sure.
Or for an image or mm-hmm. to fit in. But what I also started seeing is that people were trying to squeeze me into a box and mold me into what they felt that was best for me. And when I would rebel against it, mm-hmm. you're wrong, Jennifer. You know, you're this, you're that. And so I've had to come out of a very toxic, which I didn't realize until even in the last 18 months, because mm-hmm. then I was starting to question every little aspect of it mm-hmm. and breaking it down to just the basic, like, bottom line, and really realizing how toxic people were around me. And so now I see that toxicity and it has just exploded. So it's not just my little world that was toxic. It's out and about like a cancer. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I feel very strongly about is the fact that what they have done and how they have justified all of these things and this hypocrisy that keeps coming back and forth. Like, you can't kill a fetus or a baby, but we're not going to do anything to save kids that are getting shot up in a school.
Yep.
This is the stuff that I struggle with. And this mm-hmm. is why, for me, I mean, among everything else, I feel like I'm just seeing, and I would not, if I was not, if I were in your shoes, mm-hmm. I would not want anything to do with Christians at all. I would never even at this point would want to even if I had an inkling, like, what's that? I know.
Sure.
But I'm already in it.
Sure.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And although my beliefs have changed, they have, I mean, it's funny because before I started going to this church, I was exactly who I was then as I am now.
Sure.
And it just kind of got, like, muddied.
Uh-huh.
And you're being told all of these things, and I'm so trying to, like, form relationships with people. And it's the first time that I mean, I'm here in Iowa by myself. I have no family here.
Oh, that's right. They're in New York.
Well,
right?
I have family in New York, uh-huh. but my middle sister, mm-hmm. she lives up in Wisconsin. My okay. youngest sister lives in California. So I am here by myself.
Okay.
And, you know, I haven't had parents since mm-hmm. I was 28. My mother died when I was 12.
Oh,
my dad was 28 I was 28 when my dad died. So I'm kind of like this little fledgling, you know,
trying to figure it out.
Yeah. A little orphan that is just like, and not ever having really any support anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come into this church and people are like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 blah. And ended up getting hooked up with a woman who was a Christian counselor, and her husband basically took me under their wing.
Mm-hmm.
They referred to me as their adopted daughter.
Aww.
And all of these things. And the things that I would be willing to put up with to have parents,
right.
the things that I would be willing to put up with to have family around me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of toxicity, but I know that inside that I was like, this isn't right. This is, but I so badly want to be a part of a family uh-huh. and have
and that
people.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the group.
And it really was a high price to pay. In 2000, I think it was 2000, it's been about a year. So yeah, it was in January, just after the, inauguration. And there was all this stuff coming out from, I don't know where, but it was being reported that, you know, Muslims were taking over, like, Sweden, and they were ruining everything, and rapes were going up. So I did my research on
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did my mm-hmm. research on it, and I was reading articles out of Europe, not here in the United
right.
States.
Good
so going
you.
To Al
good,
Jazeera,
good, good. Yep.
or going to the BBC, which uh-huh. It's kind yeah. of like our NBC, uh-huh. you know, CNN. But you know, I only have so many mm-hmm. places I can go to
right.
find this. And it wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
The explanation was all of these increased so-called rapes mm-hmm. and sexual assaults were actually because they had changed the laws
mm-hmm.
so that women could, they expanded the law of mm-hmm. what sexual assault and rape, so to speak,
sure.
would consist of.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't just rape or being touched improperly. Mm-hmm. There were other things.
Right.
That was what was mm-hmm. causing it. Now, the right
mm-hmm.
and the alt on uh-huh. right on uh-huh. in Europe was uh-huh. trying to do it as Muslims. They were scapegoating Muslims
uh-huh.
saying that that was happening. Well, this particular woman who was a counselor, who counseled me,
mm-hmm.
who knew all of my background, mm-hmm. all of my past. And mm-hmm. I think you know what mm-hmm. part of my past yeah. I'm talking yeah. about. So she said, you know, she had posted some ridiculous, probably some Russian, you know, crap that she found, you know, right. that was mm-hmm. just total bullshit, and posted it. And I, you know, contradicted it. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, you know, you should really, because I do have friends who live right. in Sweden, although right. we've not met,
right.
we've discussed things uh-huh. online, and mm-hmm. you really should talk to some people over in Europe that mm-hmm. can give you better information. You mm-hmm. know, this is what really is happening. Linked an article, I think it was Al Jazeera or BBC, and linked the article, and she was like, wow, Jennifer, I'm surprised that someone like you would be justifying this. And I called her out on her bullshit.
Good for you.
Why? Just because I was raped? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Muslim that raped me. It was a white man. Yep. And how dare you try to use something like this to justify that? Because I'm not buying your bullshit.
Good for you.
And that's the last time that we had any contact online. She's no longer, I do not speak to her any longer. The last time I had any contact with her, I had a friend who died in November. And she had seen my daughter's post, because mm-hmm. my daughter's still friends with her online, and sent me a text. That was the last time. So that was in November. She tried to get me to come to her house the June before. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I yeah. can't. Yeah. You know, wish me a happy birthday, mm-hmm. you know, the year uh-huh. before. But other than that, I have no desire. And it's too bad, because I'm sure that they look at me as being ungrateful that right. I took advantage right. of them. I just, and that bothers me.
Right.
Whatever kind of, you know, narrative they're mm-hmm. spinning on their end without ever asking any questions. But you don't take someone's past and throw it back in their fucking no. face just to get some kind of political, you know,
right.
one up on you. Uh-huh. I mean, absolutely, mm-mm. absolutely not. And
just because this is my past or this is what my history is, doesn't mean I can't have a different perspective.
Right.
On it. Absolutely. It doesn't mean that I'm not coming from it from an honest, authentic place. Mm-hmm. And we can disagree, but don't throw it back at me.
Yeah, no. And it's not her place. As a no. counselor yes. alone, because I know I signed oh, some God. Forms that said that everything that was said was confidential.
Right.
But there was a guy that came. I saw all these messages in my messenger from this guy that just happens to somehow came across a friend of a friend who saw this conversation mm-hmm. and, you know, I don't know how it all works, but yeah. how you end up getting you know, yeah, other yeah. people's mm-hmm. stuff, and was just beside himself. Like, I cannot believe that, you know, he posted to me what he had posted to her, but then the post was taken off.
Oh, sure.
Okay. But I still have my comment. Sure. Like, I screenshotted sure. that motherfucker.
Sure. Good for you.
Like, you, if she ever wants to know, right. I'll just send you this screenshot. And I have his messages where he showed me, and he was just like, I was beside myself that she would, you know, call you out like that and mm-hmm. out you about what had happened to you mm-hmm. to do what she did. And mm-hmm. and the night, there was another woman who, oh my gosh, we went to church together for the whole time that I was there. I didn't even know her. So it was just kind of like, oh my gosh. But then this woman came out and messaged me. She's like, you know, you don't know me, but I saw what happened and I'm so sorry. And I know who Lori is, and I know who, you know, her husband is, and I know that I have been there too, where it's very toxic and blah, 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 and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. So she and I have become friends, mm-hmm. and we have the same kind of, you know, belief system. Mine mm-hmm. is still a little, I would say, become more of a hippie Christian than I sure. am.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do not identify as an evangelical, because mm-hmm. I'm so far removed from all of that kind yeah. of, like, fundamentalist.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not a fundamentalist.
No, I would say no.
No. So, and I never really was. I just got sucked into this. Like, you have to do this to be acceptable and, you know, this kind of thing. And it's just the whole time it was just like, this is not me. Mm-hmm. But I'm really trying to do this right mm-hmm. and not having any prior knowledge to what right is.
Sure.
And now I just understand there's no right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there is no
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I mean, there's just so many things that have happened over that time to the point that I was actually thinking, you know, maybe there really isn't a God, because I cannot see for a second how this God who's supposed to love and all of these things could allow something like this to happen. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading on John Pavlovitz, he is a Christian writer, he's a pastor, but he's very much a progressive, and he gets a lot of crap online for what he writes, you mm-hmm. know, your cult is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And when I started reading his blog and stuff that he posts on, oh my gosh, like, I totally get this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not the only one here.
No.
And he identifies. Yeah. Like, listen, I know you might be struggling because of what you've been taught, mm-hmm. but let me tell you, it's okay. And mm-hmm. so there's all of these things that I see online now, and just feeling very comfortable with the fact, like, okay, maybe I'm not totally out of my depth here.
No.
But, you know, to keep people chained up, to keep uh-huh. them tied to the flock, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. under the guise of freedom, but really mm-hmm. your feet are all chained together.
Yes.
It's that guilt. It's that yep. you can't question. You can't do any of these things. And if you do, this is what's going to happen. Well, I kind of felt like, well, okay, you know, I'm even though I'm questioning, you know, I'm still kind of doing what I'm supposed to do until I wasn't. And so 6 months ago, because I missed praying, I missed that connection that I had. And I'm very aware that God could very well not exist, but for me, I love the fact that there there might be a God and somebody else. And so I finally just said, listen, you know, am I just acceptable now as I was then? Mm-hmm. Because back then I felt completely accepted by you, but am mm-hmm. I as acceptable now as I am in this new form, in this person that has separated herself from all of this noise? Mm-hmm. And I, ever since then, I'm like, okay. I just feel this peace about it. Like, yeah. I am okay. And then I thought about it because somebody came online, and it was John Pavlovitz who had, I think that I'm saying his name right. It's Pav something. John Pav. I think that's right. I've said it 100 times. And someone had said, I just don't understand why God would allow something like this to happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it.
Allow the election?
Just all of it.
All of it.
And, okay, and everything. Basically, I think, because it was closer to more after the election, so maybe like, you know, May of last year or okay, something. Sure. So within just mm-hmm. a few months. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. If I were God, and if God allows, because I'm not really sure, does God really allow this stuff to happen? Or does, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, but if I were God and I allowed this to happen, what could possibly be the reason? Because the alt-right is saying that he is the savior of the world. I don't think he's the savior of the world. As far as I'm concerned, that has already occurred. We're already saved. All of us. Regardless if we believe in him or not. So, if I were God, what would be my purpose? And I thought about it and thought about it, and I felt for this lady. Even in her just couple of sentences, I could feel this desperation, just like, why would God allow? And I thought to myself, well, if the slogan is Make America Great Again, how do you make something great? How do you create greatness? How do you go about doing that? And I thought about that. Mm-hmm. If you want to make something great, you have to identify what the problems are. So, if I were God, and America is falling under this, I want to be a great country again, you have to identify what the problems are. Mm-hmm. To be able to identify the problems are, you have to bring them to the surface. Mm-hmm. What better person to bring every single issue that is wrong with this country to the surface, but not my President Trump? And I thought to myself, well, they might be right. They might be right. The alt-left and the evangelical, all of them, they might be right. He is going to change this world, but not in the way that they think he's going to. And so I kind of shared that with this lady, and she was just like, wow, that's brilliant. And mm-hmm. I thought, wow, I mean, that is mm-hmm. a different way to look at it. For me, I just keep trying to find the silver lining in all of this, but it's really hard. When I see these Republicans, oh God, their vile comments, the woman's body will shut down if it's truly a rape and not these things.
A woman's body is...
I'm shaking because this
stuff... a woman's body is merely a vessel to house a baby. Mm-hmm. And that was Oh, I have goosebumps. It was Ohio and Missouri, maybe. It was two different male senators, but one that if a woman is truly, truly, that's the key
word. Truly raped.
Truly raped. Not all those fake rapes happening, but truly raped. Mm-hmm. Her body will shut down, mm-hmm. and she won't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then a separate comment that came out at the same time was that a woman's body is merely a vessel to house a baby.
I heard host, too.
Oh, host. Yeah, that is it.
Is it the sorry, same host. Guy
yeah, the same
with the
guy.
Cowboy
yep,
hat?
Yep, sorry, yep. Host. Yep.
Yeah.
Simply, we're simply a vessel. Uh-huh. So our body does not matter.
Right.
But then the logic of that, if our body doesn't matter, we are simply a grown woman or whatever, mm-hmm. able to get pregnant, a woman able to get pregnant, and to host a baby. Mm-hmm. Well, then, if it's a girl baby, mm-hmm. then she... Where, at what point does she actually start to matter? Mm-hmm. How old does she have to be before she actually starts to matter?
Right.
Before she becomes a host.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So when I see things like that, Roy Moore, seeing all of the churches on their billboards outside, they should have lost their 501c. Mm-hmm. It should have been, is it
503? Uh-huh, yep, yep, yeah. Yep, the nonprofit. Yep.
Should have been mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. Should have been gone. I think churches should have to pay taxes like everyone else.
Yes. Do you know what? How different this country would be?
We also don't want to live in a Christian nation. No, thank you very much.
No. Yes. That whole separation.
Yeah. The lines have been so blurred, and the fact that this is going on, it's just the ante just keeps getting ramped up every uh-huh. single day. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, and trying to stay focused, and this is something that I really have to focus on. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Just stay here. Stay here. Go watch the Young Turks. You know, go watch Hassan Piker. Stay focused mm-hmm. on what the real issues are.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and because I mean, I've become so automatic now. Mm-hmm. That when I read something, a tweet, I go out to Twitter. Like, mm-hmm. I have not used Twitter since, like, 2014.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Just to verify uh-huh. that this is what's being said.
Sure.
Because I don't
yes.
trust the news media
Yay!
Anymore. So I want to make sure that they didn't misquote
Yay!
Or add something.
Yes.
So
yes.
it's like a full-time
yes.
fucking job.
Yes.
Trying to keep the truth and
the
not...
Truth.
You
just
know?
What, just right. what is the truth is
exactly.
a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So having to go out and double check all this stuff or find the tweet between, you know, 10,000 other tweets and scroll and scroll and scroll until I find it. And it's just like, oh my gosh. I mean, it is a full-time job. But when I hear these things and I'm just like, I still get shocked. And I think it's okay that I get shocked.
Oh, yes.
Because if I'm not being shocked,
yes.
then I become
uh-huh.
complacent. And
uh-huh.
so... You know, when I hear things, like yesterday with the school shooting, my God, the Lieutenant Governor Patrick from, is it Dan Patrick? Yes, Lieutenant. The fact that I know these fucking names irritates me to no end that I actually know who these people
uh-huh.
are now.
Uh-huh.
And when he said, there are too many doors, that's the problem. We need to shut down some of these doors. Did you not read that?
Nope.
He said he was having a press conference and saying, you know, that the problem is that there's too many entrances and exits that anybody can get in. So if we just had one entrance for people to get in and out, this wouldn't have happened. You're blaming fucking doors and the way that a building is set up. Is he not aware of fire codes?
That's what the whole thing. I'm like, the reason we have separate so many doors is because
people need to get the hell
right,
out.
Right. The Triangle Factory fire in 1912.
Right.
And how many other countless fires where people were trapped?
And
in
I know
building?
Exactly about that story. I just watched it earlier this year. It was on PBS.
The Triangle fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty
yeah.
devastating.
It was
yeah.
awful. They uh-huh. just could not get
nope.
out.
Nope.
And I was sitting there watching this press conference. You know, I was watching it through Twitter.
God.
And I was just, these people will say anything
uh-huh.
to justify
uh-huh.
not blaming guns.
Well, when you're blaming the victims, when you're blaming kids who are going to school, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. if you're in then Paris, you're blaming people at a concert
mm-hmm.
for getting shot
mm-hmm.
at a concert and mm-hmm. for getting shot for It's they're going to school. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. part of me, and yesterday where I was with this, and truly I haven't looked that much into this one. I did see something where apparently he was posting a bunch of things about Nazis and whatever, but for me, I've learned that if you get the information the day of or the day after, it's usually too soon. Mm-hmm. And so what's right. fact versus
right.
the narrative. But I forget what I forgot where I was going with that. but again, that it's just it's kids, and we're not shocked and we're not surprised, and that I can't get over the fact that we're blaming people for going to school. And oh, I know where I was going with it. That I think part of this is, I think our government is perfectly fine with the fact that kids are getting killed at school,
mm-hmm.
and at church, and wherever. I think they're perfectly fine with it.
I think there must be something behind mm-hmm. it. Someone had said, or I read a comment, I believe it was on Twitter yesterday, saying, I think they're allowing this to happen so that we can do the privatization of the education yeah. system, and that we yep. can do vouchers and yep. do the private school yep. thing and da-da-da-da-da. Yep.
It's a way to keep us uneducated. I think it's a way to keep us uneducated.
And I'm just...
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's so mind-boggling because I cannot understand... I cannot understand the mindset of any of these people. Mm-hmm. I'm so far the opposite direction mm-hmm. of this way of thinking, the way that people hate other people. I mean, to the point that they're willing to, you know, there was a guy that showed up at the school yesterday. He was on camera. He had a Make America Great hat on, and he had a pistol on his hip in a crime scene with a big American flag. And another Second Amendment supporter
sure.
said, I support gun rights. This is not what we need. Right. We do need prayers because of this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy kept saying, he was a Hispanic gentleman, and he kept saying, you know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I own guns. We do need prayers because of this guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, I don't understand how people can think the way that they do. Now, you're free to think whatever you want, but this bullshit of the... Uh-huh. I mean...
I'm right there with you.
I just... Yeah. I can't. Mm-hmm. And... But I'm seeing, especially with guys like that, who stand up and say, listen, I support gun rights, mm-hmm. and I like having my guns, but mm-hmm. this is not... And mm-hmm. I'm starting to see, little by little, mm-hmm. people coming out and starting to realize... Something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how they don't get it already is beyond me. But I feel like people are slowly starting to wake up. I know this because my sister did.
Uh-huh.
My youngest sister...
in Wisconsin or California?
California. Uh-huh. She and I got into it twice.
Okay.
The first time, we didn't get into it. I just let her talk.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very supportive.
Of Trump?
Yes.
Okay.
And
did she vote for him, if you're comfortable saying?
I don't honestly know if she did or not. And there's a part of me that just doesn't want to know.
Sure.
Now, my sister and I will say my sister and I have reconciled mm-hmm. at this point. But on Thanksgiving last year
mm-hmm.
and then just after the New Year, my sister and I got into it on Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And I had kind of let all of these comments go, mm-hmm. go, until mm-hmm. finally I was just like, I just lost it, you mm-hmm. know, and we're screaming and arguing, and it felt actually really good to just tell her off, not because it was her, but just to be like, how can you?
Yeah.
And I think she felt the same way about me because uh-huh. she had also experienced a lot of hateful comments
sure.
towards herself.
Sure.
And I think it's hard sometimes that we don't think that liberal progressives. We mm-hmm. all, I like to mm-hmm. think that we're very peace. That
sure.
No, we can be just uh-huh. as bad. Yes. And people need to recognize that yes. as well.
Completely agree.
And, you know, but at this time, I didn't know what she was getting from the left. And, you know, she was trying to share her opinion. And I guess people were coming at her. But, I didn't know it at the time. And we just went back and forth and back and forth. We didn't speak over Christmas after that. I mean, we just did not talk. And she ended up calling me. And apologizing, I love mm-hmm. you and all this stuff, mm-hmm. and Lissy, I love you and all this stuff, and then we still got into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is my sister. Mm-hmm. I love this girl. There's mm-hmm. something going on here that I'm not catching. There's something about whatever she's believing that's offering her something, and I can't figure it out.
Right.
And so we did finally have a conversation. After several conversations where we did not talk about politics at all.
Good.
Because my sister and I have always done this.
Sure.
And so we had, I want to say, 3 or 4 conversations. And then it was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks I hadn't heard from her. And she's very busy. And she calls me up and she says, "Now, because I've been doing some research, mm-hmm. because you influence me, because I look up to you, I just want you to know, like," however she said it, "I'm no longer supporting, not my President Trump."
Wow.
I mean, my whole face just lit up, but it's not for me to gloat.
No.
People have to come to their own uh-huh. understanding about mm-hmm. whatever in their own time. I'm very glad. Mm-hmm. I mean, she still does consider herself a conservative, a fiscal conservative.
Sure.
She also lives in California.
Sure, yes.
It's kind yeah. of a mess over there with the money, okay?
Yes, it is.
And she's had to suffer because of the right. imbalance of the way things are done uh-huh. there. I get that. Like, uh-huh. I can't even, like, I would not want to live in California. Yeah. It's not a place I would mm-hmm. ever want to live. Mm-hmm. So I understand being, you know, like everybody should be for the most part. Uh-huh. We all have to keep a budget. Right. We don't get to run up bills and not have any consequences. Sure, no. So I get the, mm-hmm. I would have considered myself probably between Obama and Mitt Romney when they were, because I did vote for Mitt Romney 1 year.
Okay. Was that the, second year, duh.
Yeah, it would have been 12.
Yep.
McCain, or 2011 yeah. and then 12. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I guess because, I remember I was getting irritated with Obama. I was really, really pissed off mm-hmm. because he was charging people if they did not take out the ACA. Mm-hmm. And then he was giving them a fee. And I was sure. like, How do you say this is like, mm-hmm. you know, healthcare for all,
right?
And we're living in a free nation, and then you're going to penalize people for not choosing this.
Right.
I understand it because I've done the healthcare thing. I get it. Mm-hmm. But that's not a free nation when you're stamping, you right. know, and telling people they have to uh-huh. pay. And it was
right.
a if lot you of don't money.
Have insurance.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just like, and so I was getting a little pissy about little things like that and just feeling like, you know, I don't know if it was just a lot of confusion. And my sister and I both kind of came to this conclusion. And, you know, there was a lot of crap coming out from the right about him being a Muslim, supporting Muslim sympathizers. And there was a part of me that was just getting angry about it mm-hmm. and feeling like maybe he really doesn't have our best interest. Maybe mm-hmm. there is something else going on here. But just not having the full understanding sure. of everything, right. you know. And you're trying to, you know, all this information and, you know, you can see what's going on in the church, but then I'm like, okay, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. And I started slowly coming kind of back because mm-hmm. I would have considered myself a fiscal conservative as well at the time, but I was never like a Trumpster conservative, right. you know what right. I'm talking about? Never right. like that. And my sister wasn't either. So, I mean, we both voted for Obama. Uh-huh. I mean, it was like the greatest day. Right. And so then, you know, I kind of felt myself coming back where she was kind of mm-hmm. still here. And so we did finally have that conversation. So there's no gloating about it. I'm just like, okay. And then coming to understand where she's coming from, that she's like, I recognize. Mm-hmm. And that was I think that was part of the appeal. Uh-huh. That we're going to take America back so uh-huh. that this stuff isn't uh-huh. happening. And I think uh-huh. that there was a lot of fear there for mm-hmm. her. But I think now she's just like, okay, this right. is worse.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of the things that I, you know, I've tried to just explain to my sister, listen, I understand that you've had these experiences, but you have to also be able to be open enough to say, okay, not all, you know, Mexicans do.
Right.
And mm-hmm. do what they've done to you, and not mm-hmm. all Black people do that either. And mm-hmm. she knows, but there's still that heart part mm-hmm. that has been so badly mm-hmm. hurt. And just saying, you know, you just gotta be aware, because mm-hmm. if all Muslims hated it, we'd already be dead, because there's right. like, what, how many, right. 1.3 right. billion of them, and 326 yeah. million yeah. of us? We'd already be dead. Yes. If that were the case, if yeah. that truly were the case, we'd be gone by now. They would right. take over this country, and if they wanted to, they could. That's mm-hmm. not what it is, you yeah. know. now that I can understand where she's coming from.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder how many still Trump supporters are not able to reconcile that. Mm-hmm. And I see that she's trying to, and I there's no gloating about it, like I said.
No.
I am just so happy that now I can help her and understand where she's coming from. But I have to wonder how many more people are out there that have had these experiences that are just like, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't justify it, but there's always a root. There's always a start, and there's always a pinpoint. So I'm just like, okay, my sisters and I are good. Like, I don't, because this really just was
wearing on me. Oh, of course. Wearing especially on if it was me. Over the holidays. Yeah.
What the worst time. We weren't even in the same room together. She's in California. I'm here. And we're just screaming back and forth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine having dinner with people at this point. Like, I would not want to do it. So, you know, so I wonder how many people have become so jaded to the point that they just are not able to see anything, that we all as human beings have to rise above that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can be angry with white men all the time, but they're not all like the white men that I've encountered. So, but if you're a white man like the Trump supporters, I don't want anything to do with you, because I have no patience.
No.
Like, we all have our, like, I have standards. And you fall below that bar, and the bar's, you know, keeps getting lower and lower and lower. It's you just can't do anything anymore. So is there anything that you want? I mean, that's my whole, like, that's what I've gone through.
I find it interesting when people have had a negative experience with someone of the opposite race or nationality, that then that whole race and nationality becomes bad. And I'm not saying I don't understand it. I understand that rationale and that thinking. But think how many times you've been harmed or gotten a fight with or been annoyed by, pissed off at someone of your own race.
I am nationality. More racist towards white men and women than I would. I would feel more comfortable being in a room. And I told my sister this as well. I would feel more comfortable being in a room of 100 black men and 100 Mexicans than I would 2 white guys or 1. Because my experience does not dictate to me that those groups of people are black guys. Mine is with all the white people. So I think, I mean, I have it too. I mean, I'm prejudiced against white men constantly.
Sure. Think how many times you've had to change the tone of a conversation or all of a sudden be super sweet and you change the tone of the pitch of your voice, or you make yourself the one that was misunderstood to try to de-escalate a situation so that, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be at a restaurant having dinner with friends. I could be at a bar by myself. I could be buying something in a store. I mean, all kinds of things where in a parking lot, whatever the situation might be. And then where somehow it turned, it went a direction that you weren't expecting it to go. And now suddenly I'm put in the position of, no, I didn't mean it that way. And I'm so sorry. And et cetera, et cetera. What I find interesting, the whole, like with the snowflakes and the libtards, is that from what I see, I think the alt-right is way more snowflakey than any liberal I've ever met in my entire life, and take way more offense to the most minutia of comments or tweets or anything. So I find that whole thing just hilarious more than anything else.
For a side that's always like, you know, freedom of speech and loving all their rights, they do, until the other side does the opposite. Like, everybody loves their right to protest, you know, their First Amendment rights. Everybody loves that, unless they don't agree with you. And then all of a sudden, go get a job. You know, you're not going to change anything. You know, that kind of, you know, narrative that's going on. But the moment, is her last name Laren, Tommy, Laren, Laren. I can't figure out. Barbie, Nazi Barbie. That's what I call her.
Tommy.
Tommy.
I just call her Tommy. But yeah, and if you say Tommy, people will know who it is. But I think it is Laren. Yeah, but Tommy.
I mean, she's the biggest snowflake.
She's ridiculous. You know? And if you listen to her enough, she contradicts herself, too.
Oh, constantly. Yeah. Constantly. But I don't... I like what Hasan Piker does. I don't... Uh-huh. Do you... Mm-hmm. Do you? I mean, mm-hmm. he is my go-to guy when it comes to...
He just sits back and messes with his rings.
I mean, yeah. and he just... What he's talking about. Uh-huh. I mean, the way he can pick it apart. And that's what I really like about, like, TYT. Uh-huh. And it's funny because it. I feel like when I need something to understand something better, even if after I read it, I go to Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm. I go to Hasan Piker. These mm-hmm. are the people that good. Make sense. Yeah,
good.
Who's the other guy? Trevor Noah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. you know, the whole...
And just the comedic aspect of it, yeah.
Because it mm-hmm. keeps my anxiety down. Because I know yeah. that I'm going to get, and I trust the information that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. They do have a platform, and everybody says, well, they're going to twist it. But to me, what they're saying makes perfect sense. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a little, you know, I mean, I know that there's a bias, but they're not pretending that they don't have right, a bias.
Right. As opposed to the all and the conservatives where there's right. allegedly no bias whatsoever.
Oh, and that's total crap. There's no way. So, I mean, they're my go-to guys because mm-hmm. I know they're going to explain it and they're going to break it down. Mm-hmm. And the breakdown with Hasan Piker, I mean, when he does that, I mean, it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's really smart.
And I'm just like, wow. You know, I mean, how great to be. What is he, like 26 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, he's not very old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's Cenk's nephew.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and super smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I didn't know for a while that they were related mm-hmm. until he would, like, talk about nepotism.
Right, yeah. right, right. And so I love getting that kind of aspect because I trust that more than mm-hmm. I do any of the national
yeah.
networks.
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Just like, wow. I uh-huh. mean, you just can't. So I don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch CNN. I don't have cable either. So,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, if it was mm-hmm. like in a national emergency mm-hmm. or like when volcanoes are about right. to explode, right. that's when I'd like to have CNN.
Same.
Because I know they're going to over-report it and same. That's what I want to see.
Same. Mm-hmm.
The political aspect of stuff, so mm-hmm. many people have lost their credibility with things. Mm-hmm. Rachel Maddow.
Oh my God. Is she still talking about Russia? I don't even know.
I don't.
But I just know she still is.
I just know that she, you know, when the whole tax thing and they made this big thing that they got his taxes and I'm like, okay, you just blew your entire career.
Oh, yeah.
You're just done.
Oh, yeah.
I understand, you know, when NMP says, you know, it's a witch hunt. In that case, that's exactly what they are doing.
Yep, absolutely.
Some of the other ones, you know, whatever. But that is literally looking for and
yes
not so much for facts they're just looking for shit
yes
let's no that doesn't help our side at all
nope
when you're just nitpicking bullshit that you know oh I got the taxes yes. and it was yes. nothing how humiliating.
I equated it to and I'm a little bit older than you so you might not know by this much. Reference, but, and we share the same birthday.
Yes, we do.
Was when Geraldo Rivera, when he was an investigative journalist a mm-hmm. long time ago, mm-hmm. when he did Capone's Vault.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch that? I do remember that
a little bit.
Where mm-hmm. the whole thing, it was live, and the whole thing was they're digging, but then you're learning about Capone and that whole thing. And then at the very end, there was going to be this big reveal of what's going to be in the vault, and there was nothing in the vault. It was literally nothing.
Right, I do remember that.
And so when she did the tax return, and the whole hour was speculation of like, wow, is this going to be, you know, are there going to be connections to Russia and what are his investments with, and maybe is it going to show this and maybe mm-hmm. it will show that. And it's like, stop doing speculation.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that this was leaked to you. And for me, I was also it was 2005 or something like that she had. I don't remember what year it was, but it was like the year that The Apprentice had been out or the year after Apprentice had come out.
Mm-hmm.
So of course it's going to show that his income is more.
Right.
To me, the whole thing in that particular year that it was leaked was to show that he really was as rich as he claims to be. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think he's anywhere remotely close.
I don't know how he could be.
No. As rich as he is. And there's been multiple reports that have said, had he done absolutely nothing with the money that his father gave him that he inherited, he would actually be richer mm-hmm. than what he is because mm-hmm. of all of his bankruptcies. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a total.
You know, I just kind of look aside. At Trump as like a prop master. Like, he can build really nice things, but they're so they're yeah, hollow inside.
Yeah, it's a deck of cards.
You know, it's yeah. I mean, it's just nothing sticks.
No,
nothing stands. The fact that Mar-a-Lago has not fallen into yes, you know the yeah. ground is beyond me, or mm-hmm. that it hasn't gone into a sinkhole. Uh-huh. That's kind of how I look. Mm-hmm. It's all appearance yeah, on the outside, but there's absolutely nothing nope. going on, and mm-hmm. that's like it's like a stagehand. We'll just build a yep. house, and yep. it's like. Empty Done. Or yep. just a facade of a house, and then behind it is nothing.
Yep.
And that's kind mm-hmm. of how I see
set decoration.
Yeah, yeah. just a human, yeah. you know, just nothing there. Mm-hmm. You know, in all of this, I think my biggest struggle with that side mm-hmm. is the love your enemies thing. How do I look at Paul Ryan and not want him to burn for the rest of his life? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I'm no better than, you know, someone who says that Muslims should burn.
Right. Sure. Okay.
I don't want to have that kind sure. of, it's because it's childish. It's not kind. It's hateful. It's looking at another human being saying that they are not worth anything. But it's very, very hard because I'm right in the middle of it. You're right in the middle of it to see any humanity behind any of these people because of what they're doing. So for me, that's the biggest struggle right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good. I'm going to like there is no more, you know, Christian toxicity any longer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to love everybody.
Yeah.
But I am struggling with this. This has been sure. the biggest one. Like, uh-huh. how do you do that? And I do remember someone saying you pray for them. It's very hard for me to pray for people that I just absolutely do not agree with. So basically, when I feel that need, the like, I need to do something, I just say, God, let him, when it comes to NMP, let him see with your eyes. Let him hear with your ears. Let him ask you for wisdom. Send people. But it all feels like it's just a facade as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because uh-huh. he's not going to listen. No. He's not going to listen. Yeah. I mean, I heard this man say, talking about collusion, saying that if...
What man?
It was just some oh, guy somebody, that, somebody. Like, okay. they interviewed okay. on. It was a black gentleman who had said on Fox News, maybe, I don't know, that even if Jesus came down and told him personally mm-hmm. that there was collusion, mm-hmm. he would believe Trump over Christ. And I thought,
okay.
That is not shit you want to fuck with, okay? That is something I would never say. Like, are you kidding me? So that is the mindset of sure. that Trump is the...
He's like the prophet. Yeah. And there's like a large group of people who are seeing, and I will say, I think some actually see him as a prophet, mm-hmm. and I think other people are just grasping onto that word, mm-hmm. where he is this savior. He is this prophet. He is going to save all of us. And I just, what is going on? And there was one, this was a while ago, but, it was a news story about Trump and how Facebook will do it where someone makes a comment and then you can, like, click on their comment. And I went to their page because mm-hmm. her comment was something like, he's a prophet. He's going to save us all. And so much of it has to go back to abortion, and he's going to save all the unborn children. There's so many posts about the blood in the streets dealing with abortion and saving all these unborn children. And I don't understand why we've latched onto that one particular issue, that particular point, or how Trump is going to save us from anything. But anyway, so went to her page. And she was older, I would say, based on her picture, she had to be in her late 50s, if not in her 60s. Mm-hmm. And she was making colored pencil drawings of Trump as George Washington crossing the Potomac with, like, the American flag behind him. Trump and Pence as, like, Christ and prophet figures. Trump building the wall as, like, this great Christopher Columbus type thing. I mean, it was one of those where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to take this. Is this serious? Is this a joke? Is there some mental health issues? But it was one of those where I was on her page for a long time, scrolling through all of those pictures.
Right.
Of just what is going on. And a lot of them as a George Washington figure. But yeah, I don't get that at all. And to your prior conversation and points about the church and the alt-right and evangelicals, a lot of research on the alt-right is a very, very, very small minority, but they're getting all the attention and causing all this fear and divisiveness. Mm-hmm. But who we really need to be concerned about and who we need to be watching in this country is the evangelical and the Christian, the Christian right, because they are the one that are writing our policies. Their religion is very much in our government right now, where we've made these founding fathers, these great... I'm going to use the word prophet again. These great prophets and these great saviors. Where I've gotten to with our founding fathers in the last couple of years are, they were educated white men with a lot of money who owned people and property. That would be the Koch brothers now.
Right, right.
Like, we need to look at why these particular people became our founding fathers. They weren't just nobodies. I granted, some of them were.
Right.
Just young kids or whatever. But no, they were educated white men with money, power, and influence. That's no different than what's going on right now.
Right.
But there is a definite distinction between separation of church and state. And why did people even come to this fucking country from the other countries? I believe it was religious persecution.
Right. Exactly.
So that whole thing, I don't get. And that Christianity specifically is writing our government, is in our government and writing our laws.
Right, right, right.
Like, if you have a problem with guns, don't own a gun. If you have a problem with abortion, don't have an abortion.
Right.
If you have a problem with gay marriage, I'm going to assume you're not gay.
Right.
And so therefore probably aren't going to get gay married.
Right.
Like, there's so much of that stuff that for me, I don't get it. And I don't think our country is going to hell because two people love each other that are of the same sex.
Right. No, if there was a hell and we were going there, it is all of the bullshit that they're doing. I don't want to sound like a preachy, churchy person because that's not it. But perspective, because that's what I came out of. I'm looking at it from, okay, well, this is what I've read. These are the books that I've read. What they're doing is so just antichrist.
Yes.
That, if that is the case from a Christian perspective, that is what is going to doom this nation.
Yes.
Not two people having sex
that
are the same sex.
No. Yeah. And I don't care if it's consensual. I don't care what any two people do, or three or four or five. I don't care. Right. If it's consensual, I don't care.
Right.
And I'm going to, any more than I would think you care what I do. Like, if it doesn't affect you,
as long as it's not with underage minors.
Yes.
And animals. I mean, you know, I mean, people have that. It just, it's not fair to the animal. They're not able to consent.
I was
going to
say the animal isn't consenting.
Okay, so those two things aside, I don't give a fuck.
No.
I don't care.
No.
I don't. I just don't. Nope. I don't see what the big deal is. And people have tried to say, well, it's just not right because everything in the world is yin and yang and male and female. And it's just, but you would have to then assume that everything was created in that particular, but that's not the case. We have frogs that can change sex.
Yes.
We have animals that do end up that are gay, to speak.
Yes.
It's not, I just don't think that it is that black and white.
I agree.
You know, I have been sexually attracted to women, even though I didn't necessarily want to have sex with them, but I didn't feel like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
I think that it's not so much a choice, but that we do have a choice to a certain degree that, because if you're saying, well, you're choosing to be gay, well, then you must have chosen to be heterosexual.
Exactly.
you can't tell me that somehow there's just this select group of people that are mm-hmm. all wrong.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And I think that whether it's through conditioning or programming or what we were raised in, I think that you do, to a certain degree, make a choice. But at the same time, like my daughter is bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
When she told me, I got this deep burning pit in my stomach, and I was so terrified for her because of what was going on.
Right,
you're doing your coming out now, like of all the times, but at the same time, it was the best time for her to come out.
Uh-huh.
And that was fine with me. My daughter is both attracted to men and women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think to a certain degree, there are most of, to a you lot know, of I don't know probably, the statistics.
Yeah.
I don't know what mm-hmm. they are. I do know, and I do believe that some people are just born that with, they men, gay men, they love men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for a lot of us, there is more of an inclination to maybe go.
I think so too.
And I don't know if it's so much a choice. It's just,
I think
it's the way it is.
Yeah. I think it's just, I'm making it very simplistic, but I think it's just human nature.
Uh-huh,
and if I see a beautiful woman with a great ass and I'm walking behind her in the hallway, I'm going to go, she has a really great ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that mean I want to sleep with her? Not necessarily.
Right. Like, no, I like sex and I like all of these things, but I like it with men.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that I don't like having to deal with men.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I just, does that make me, am I bad?
No.
You know, does God look at me and be like, oh my God, you're just, I'm done with you. You're gone. You know? No, I don't. I think it's, human nature. Because I don't want to say that it's a choice, because I don't think that men who sleep with men or have sex or attracted men are choosing that. That's just how they were born.
Yep.
But I think we all kind of, I think most of us are kind of going to go either way.
Yep.
And it's just however we, you know, whatever our inclination is, you know.
You can have sex with someone and it's just sex.
Right.
I mean, and it doesn't mean that you're straight or gay. You're just having sex. But in terms of the choice, where I've come from that on anything is, why would you choose to be an outcast?
Exactly.
Why would you choose to have this large population hate you?
Exactly.
Why would you choose to have all these laws against yourself?
Right. Right.
So for me, that's where I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really seem very much like a choice.
I don't think that many people, because I've heard it myself where people, you know, friends of mine would say, you know, I would rather just be straight because it would just be easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, but it doesn't, I mean, in the long run, it just doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
People are so, and this is one of my beefs with the whole Christian thing, is that, you know, you've got all these people that are screaming, no gay marriage, no gay marriage, no same-sex marriage, the whole deal, but you allow divorce. And divorce, in the Bible, it says, God hates divorce. Uh-huh. Three words. It's in there. I can't remember what book it's in, but I know it's in the New Testament. And it's not in the first four gospels. So, in the first four books. Mm-hmm. And so, I find it very frustrating when people are constantly screaming about no gay marriage, but they have allowed divorce. And so, when I finally pressed enough and asked about it, they said, well, they just decided that you just couldn't force people to stay married. I'm like, but you can force people to not get married? That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And so, there's the flaw there. And then when I had questioned, well, how do we know that the Bible, the way it is, which the Bible has gone through so many transformations, like how, I mean, I chose the one that I chose just because it was sent to me free from a, like a harvest something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that I've always read, and I really appreciate that one compared, and it's easy to read. Very simple language, but still beautiful, and not like the King James Version, which is very difficult. And I had asked her, how do you know? I mean, because it's gone through so many hands and changed, and books have been omitted and put in, and how do you know? And she goes, well, we just have to trust that God knew what he was doing with. And I'm like, yeah, but men can't be trusted. That has been proven throughout history that humans. Men are
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, well, since they're the ones that have been right. in charge
and
of all
power.
This stuff,
yes.
we'll
yes.
blame the men.
Yes.
But, you know, we've got all these men who are easily corruptible. They're greedy. You know, they're lusting for power. How do we trust that? And she goes, I don't know. You just have to trust God. And right then and there, I was like, how can they say then that evangelical, non-denominational Christians have this pegged down because mm-hmm. there's no proof to serve that otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so then it, you know, it just turns into like, you know, this whole thing, but you know, like the power and control and how did they get me to yeah. where I was and uh-huh. how does this whole religious, because I don't consider myself religious. I would say that I would consider myself a follower of Christ, but until there's another better word that I can come uh-huh. up with, I don't mm-hmm. refer to myself as a Christian uh-huh. for this conversation sure. because it's just easier sure. to just sure. nail it down sure. to one thing.
Sure.
Because follower of Christ can go, like, people can get kind of uh-huh. weird with that. Uh-huh. But for the sake of just being simplistic about it, I don't personally never would be like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian.
Right.
I don't want sure. to be identified sure. with that. So
sure.
And so it's more of a spiritual nature where mm-hmm. it's just me and God. Mm-hmm. And when I need some inspiration, mm-hmm. I'll go to the Bible. But I'm looking for the good stuff. Yes. Like
just
and
love.
And it's more of just like the Gospels. Mm-hmm. The stuff that Jesus said. Kind of document Jesus's 3 years while he was out actually preaching to uh-huh. people. So mm-hmm. that's where I stay. Uh-huh.
Do you have any last thoughts?
I would just say that if you are someone who is an evangelical Christian who is not content nor feeling very Christian at this point in your little circles because of the bullshit that's going on around you, it is okay to be a liberal progressive. That it is okay that you are doing these things. You are not alone. We're all kind of coming out of this fog of religion and control and all of these lies and all of these things that have been told to us. But it's okay if you are not content with the way that things are. It's okay to question. God is not going to strike you down. He would rather have someone who is defiant and understanding as opposed to someone who is just a blind sheep that doesn't even recognize who he is. So do what you have to do. It's okay. You're not going to burn in hell for questioning and all those things. So that was the mm-hmm. whole point of this. So
okay.
That's what I want people to know, is that you can be a Jesus freak, loving the environment and all those things, and be a liberal progressive. It's I don't see how people cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that's where I am with that.
I completely 100% concur. Cheers. Oh, we drank water the whole time.
Yep, we did. Cheers.
Cheers. And with that, I will say, as always, thank you for listening. Remember to share the love, not the hate. Thank you, love you, bye.